Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's April 2nd, 1932, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Aria, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
There's only one way to start this episode, and that's... I, Ape Man, Ollie Man. And that's because it was today in history in 1932 that the American public were first exposed to Olympic swimmer Johnny Weissmuller as Tarzan in Tarzan the Ape Man, which was released today, the first in a very long-running series of both Tarzan and non-Tarzan branded Weissmuller in a loincloth movies.
Yeah, and probably that was such a long series because this film was an immediate popular and critical sensation. It became one of the top 10 box office hits of the year. Immediately, they had to put on more screenings. In some cinemas, they actually started showing the movie at 9 in the morning so that they could squeeze in 7 shows during the day. Tarzan fever then gripped the entire world. You had this like onslaught of all things Tarzan, Sunday and daily comic strips, book compilations, new magazine appearances, radio shows, Tarzan clubs, everything.
Possibly because of the thrilling taglines that were attached to the movie. A fascinating story of a girl who goes into the jungle and there finds love in the strong arms of a true son of nature. Then hundreds of wild animal thrills. That's just for the people that are not as interested in, you know, the strong arms part. Also, mothered by an ape. He knew only the law of the jungle to seize what he wanted, which I have to say really doesn't do justice to the tone of the film. It makes it sound very dark and sexy when it's really about a man wrestling jaguars.
Well, also, yeah, there's very little detail about why he's in the jungle and why he lives there and how he's been mothered by an ape in the actual film, which I've sat and watched. Which, I mean, considering it's a film from 1932, I will say is still watchable. Mm. Like, I mean, you know, obviously attitudes have changed. It is set in Africa, and the storyline is about white people hunting ivory. But within that context, it's still got, like, the touchstones of a blockbuster, doesn't it? It still hits the marks. Like, things happen when you want them to happen. It does keep your attention.
The film was commissioned to be based on the Edgar Rice Burroughs 1914 novel, which MGM paid $40,000 to get the rights to because they had this leftover African jungle location footage from this early talking film that they'd done, Trader Horn, which was also directed by the same guy, W.S. Van Dyke. And they had this footage left over and they were like, well, what else can we apply that to? What's a famous story? And Tarzan was the obvious thing that leapt to mind.
Trader Horn had been the first sound film to ever be made on location in Africa. So it had been an incredibly expensive undertaking and the film itself had been a blockbuster hit. So it was natural that MGM executives thought, you know, this is a thing. People want to see this. They want to see African jungles. They want to see white dwarfs in black faces, pygmies. Yeah, that's what people wanted at the time. And so all they needed to do was find their Tarzan. So their minds immediately went to that hunk of an Adonis, Clark Gable, apparently.
During the search for their Tarzan, the director Van Dyke had often said, "What I want is a man who is young, strong, well-built, reasonably attractive, but not necessarily handsome, and a competent actor," which I suppose is where Clark Gable comes in, at least in some of those things. But he tested hundreds of athletes for the leading role, and he'd actually cast a different guy, Herman Bricks, who was this all-American football star. But he broke his shoulder during production of his first picture called Touchdown. You can see why he was cast in that one. And then the search was back on again.
So Weissmuller basically bumped into Cyril Hume, who worked for MGM Studios, and said, "You should come in and audition for this part." And, well, let's talk about what his career had been up to this point, because he had a very successful career in his own right, but in sport. He was an Olympic swimmer, as I said in my intro, 5 gold medals under his belt, and he'd set more than 50 world records and won more than 50 national championships. But he only became an American Olympic swimming hero because he'd forged his way in there To represent America at the Olympics, you had to be born as an American citizen. Mm. And even though he had spent his whole life living in America, he was actually born in Fridorf, Romania. So his father and he used the baptismal records from a church in Pennsylvania that had baptized his brother Peter and inserted John as a middle name between Peter and Weissmuller. And he said, this is me, I'm Peter John Weissmuller, let me compete in the 1924 Olympics.
That's amazing.
And obviously once he was a winner, no one said, oh, but you're not really American though.
Yeah. Can you imagine all that effort they had to go to, the parents just looking at Peter being like, why couldn't you be good at swimming?
Yeah, exactly.
There was so much about him that had to be kind of remanufactured, not only his nationality, but also after he was put in this film, Weissmuller's wife, his first wife, as it turns out, Bobby Ernst, was paid $10,000 by MGM to divorce him because the studio wanted him to be single for publicity purposes. Look, I can't imagine that this was like the only thing that was like bringing their relationship unstuck. But even so,
what it was is he'd cheated on her with someone that he'd then go on to be properly in a couple with, Loop Velez. And to be with her in a way that felt in any way reasonable in 1932, he needed a divorce from his first wife. And what MGM stepped in to offer his wife the money for was to make the divorce not involve infidelity. Mm. So she didn't name the other woman in the divorce, because that was even worse than him not being single, is that he cheated on his wife.
Yeah, and his sex appeal was the obvious draw from the beginning. I mean, how Weissmuller got into films in the first place was by being offered the non-speaking role of Adam in a 1929 movie called Glorifying the American Girl, in which he appeared wearing only a fig leaf, and he picked up the leading lady, Mary Eaton, and slung her across his shoulder. So it was obvious that, you know, they didn't want him for his acting prowess, even though he acquits himself decently as Tarzan.
Yeah. He was later quoted as saying, Tarzan was right up my alley. It was like stealing money. There was swimming in it, and I didn't have much to say. How can a guy climb trees, say, me, Tarzan, you, Jane, and make a million?
Well, the swimming part was put into it later. Apparently when he was first offered the role, it was by an executive who had no idea who he was. He had just seen him at the studio futzing around with Clark Gable when Gable was in the running and seen that he had this athletic ability, and this executive had said, oh, by the way, we'd want you to change your name, you know, Johnny Weissmuller, it's not going to look good on a marquee. And it had to be another executive who then said, he's actually already famous, people already know his name, he's an Olympic swimming champion. So apparently they said, oh, okay, put some swimming in it, and this became one of Tarzan's primary traits. You know, in all of the later generations of Tarzan, you know, there's always some kind of scene where they're swimming across a river or they're under a waterfall, and that all comes from the fact that they wanted to get some swimming in there for Weissmuller.
Well, one person who particularly commented on his swimming abilities was really one of the few people who wasn't such a fan of him being Tarzan in the first place, and that's the original film Tarzan, Elmo Lincoln, who was just a critic for his whole life. He starred in some of the Tarzans before the talkies.
And he said, insert 10 seconds of silence here.
Yeah, exactly. But eventually what he did say once he found his voice was, he said, the house seemed to think it was a comedy. Why do they portray Tarzan without any dignity? With the right treatment and portrayal, Tarzan could be a romantic, thrilling character. I don't like to see him treated as a clown. He said, I still think Weissmuller is a good swimmer. That was like the limit of his praise.
Well, you know, Edgar Rice Burroughs, the creator of Tarzan, was also deeply irritated at his on-screen portrayal. You know, he created him the Tarzan mythology is that he is actually an English aristocrat, Lord Greystoke. And as he's written in Burroughs's novels, he's kind of, it's like he is sort of an all-round hero because he can do the jungle stuff and the vine swinging, but also when he talks like a gentleman. It's a sort of a Lord Peter Wimsey type of situation. Mm. And so he hated this whole, me Tarzan, you Jane. Although, I have to say it,
that
line of dialogue is not spoken in the film, not by Weissmuller and not by his Jane Maureen O'Sullivan.
But he could do the yell, and he looked good in the loincloth, and that was good enough for people. Remember, this is just before this first one, the censorship of 1934, which we discussed in our episode Let's Censor Hollywood. So, you know, he does spend the whole thing in his loincloth, which you simply couldn't show after this for decades.
Yeah. In actual fact, there's quite a lot of stories about how that yell emerged. And one claim is that a man named Lloyd Thomas Leach is the original voice behind the yell. He was an opera singer from the 40s to the 60s. And there's this quite complex story about how MGM basically used part of his voice blended with the growl of a dog, a trill sung by a soprano, a note played on a violin's G string, and the howl of a hyena recorded backwards. In the end, I'm not sure it's that complicated. It seems as though it's part part of Weissmuller's yell that's being played both forwards and then backwards. But he only got good at doing it in real life later in his career.
Well, it came to define him so well that he asked for it to be played at his funeral. And the Tarzan yell was played as Weissmuller was lowered into the
ground. Everyone at the funeral thinking that he's fighting his way out of the coffin.
Now,
this episode first aired last year exclusively to members of Club Retrospectors.
Join today and unlock a new episode this Sunday.
Patreon.com/retrospectors.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.